actually don't know how easy it is to have right now. The church in our time is in trouble. If you and I do not deliberately arise, the church is in trouble. We have experienced almost the same experience in ministry. The first 5 years of my life in ministry was a terrible time. And little did I know that God was actually using that period to show me the things that He will make me return to come and correct in the church. God actually touched my son. Like He said, I don't know what God taught on you, but actually, I am still the same person. Some of them, He has to touch their leg that they are on wheelchair now. Many of them. But as for me, it was my tongue to touch. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews. Let me just give us body to prayer. It's a matter of choice. It is a matter of choice. Verse 15. Hebrews 11. Let me take from 13. This all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So it is a matter of choice. If they were mindful, man of God, from the time I left pastoring, I labored with that ministry for 5 years. I mean, hard labor. To the point that whenever God wants to speak to me, He has to make me sick. And I'll be on sick bed. And God will say, well, I really had to talk to you. But you are not giving me chance. So sorry, this is the only way I have to talk to you. And whenever He finished speaking to me, man of God, that is the end of the sickness. And the following day, they will see me walking. My dear will say, we gave this. I say, no, I can't. The matter is settled. Little did I know that God was preparing me. When God came and said, it is either you go or I kill you. And I said, okay, I will obey. I said, but God, just make it be as if, let it not be in form of a quarrel. Because from that point, from 4 or 5 years to that time, any message that comes from behind the pulpit was a matter for me to cry about. It is the same message that when I hear it, I'll be jumping. Whenever opportunity is given to me to minister, I'm ministering in the same line. And people are blessed, we raise money. And that's all. But it is the same thing that became a poison to my spirit. When I was about to leave, God had to test my loyalty.
It was a period that the ministry experienced a major breakthrough.
Man that was driving starlet one door. When I was leaving, that was when God gave him a Jeep. Trap. Ministry that me and him had labored to raise to an extent. And yet now I am leaving. And it is like I'm about to go and look at something tangible. So they were thinking maybe I was going to leave because there was nothing on ground. And now something, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Something had come. Let us see whether he will go. Let's see. And they were watching. And each time he called me to the office, I said, I'm touching that matter. What are you saying? I said, well, it is not what I am saying. It is what God has said. I have to go. Man of God, I was offered money. I was offered a car to stay. I said, no. What I'm seeing ahead is greater than what I'm seeing here. And that is actually what has trapped young men of our time. That when they have seen something potential about you that is capable of winning your whole generation, they want to peg you. That was the period in which I said, I'm sorry, sir. I had to go. In a short period of time, less than 5 years, he built a 3-bedroom flat. Right before my eyes. Lavishing money everywhere so that I will be tempted. And finally, I had to go. And when I visited him first after I left, the comment he made about me was that if, despite all you saw, you didn't stay, there is nothing that can kill your ministry. That was the comment he made. We thank God today we maintain a cordial relationship. When I minister last year, how much? I was surprised to see 30,000 in the envelope. If they were mindful of where they came out from, they had opportunity. But now, they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He is not ashamed to identify himself as their God. Now, with all these men that are listed in where he just took us through, will God be so proud to want to identify himself with them? Why? Wow. These are the potholes that God is showing us so that we avoid them. That when we get to a level, he will identify himself and say, this is where I belong from. I am not ashamed to identify myself with this. Those that God will proudly identify himself with, they are those that are dead to the things of this world. Nothing can trap you. Nothing can hold you. Since when I left her, 4 years now, no salary had come to me from anywhere. I was telling you that last time I came that I don't know where my certificate is. And yet we have covered 14 villages in Niger State, covered 13 in Bauchi, and covered 10 in Zaria. How? God is raising a generation that seeks nothing else than the kingdom. Now, coming to verse 32 of the same Hebrew, and what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of quail, mockings, and scourging. Ye, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were torn asunder. We are tempted, we are slain with a sword. They wandered about in shifting and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Although the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report, perfect, receive not the promise. God has provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Look at what this man did. But all this was through faith. Just a mere trust and belief in God, they subdued kingdom. That time will not even permit, time will not contain their record. And it, what they gave us here was a summary of their land. Permit me to say, these were men that operated even before the fall of the kingdom of God. They saw it from afar. They embraced it. All this, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. We don't have any reason not to do more than this man. We don't. The Bible says, of all that is born of a woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Did you know that scripture? Matthew 11. He said, there is none greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. If you allow God to translate you after this day into the kingdom of heaven, you are greater than this man. God has looked, God came and invested belief, faith in them. And look at what they did. And now God has looked in our time. What shall I give this man to conquer more? He invested himself. We became the custodian of the Trinity. Nothing greater for us to accomplish rather than God himself. Deposited through his spirit in you to accomplish. Haven't provided something better for us. And what is that? The indwelling of the Spirit of God. The indwelling of the Spirit. Through faith, they subdue kingdom. Now, with the Spirit of God in you, have you been able to subdue yourself? Not even talking about subduing the kingdom. God must deliberately move us into this kingdom of heaven experience. But first of all, we need to deal with ourselves. Am I actually into that kingdom? Am I ready to face whatever consequence that follows? Kingdom of God. God must take us there. God must take us there. God must take us there. chapter 12. Therefore, seeing that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of company, let us lay aside. Listen to me, brother. These men, they ran. And having known that God has provided something better for us to approve them, they are watching. If they did not have what we have, and yet could acquire more, what is Gideon saying about you up there as he's watching? What is David saying about you as he's watching over there? When I was in my secondary school, I was an athlete. This 4x400 meters, that one they give back to me. As my game master would say, he say, I run like a cheetah. And he will come to me and he will tap me on my back. And he said, you are my best friend. I'm going to put you in the last. Best runner, I always put in the last. That when he that will begin the race takes off and run and handle the baton over to the second runner. And he runs and hand the baton over to the third runner. When the third runner hands the baton over to the fourth runner, what happens to the stadium? That is when everybody's attention will be on that last runner. In other words, what was trying to tell me is that the hope of my school, man of God, was on me. Making the school proud was just on me that time. Whatever thing the school will go home with depends on me. You can be in that stadium that day when the first runner starts. Maybe you can be buying ice cream and yet be watching with one eye. When the second runner, you can still be doing it. But when the last runner hands the baton, you can tell ice cream man to do what? Wait. Let me see. And to end. What I'm just trying to let us know, we are the last runner. And how you run. Oh my God. The first runner can get to the second place first. That does not guarantee a prize. The second runner can get to the third point first. That yet has not guaranteed a prize. The third runner can get to me first. That does not guarantee a prize. What guarantees a prize? Was what I actually earned with. What these men have started. Listen, if they had not run well, their record would not be here. They ran. They have handed over the battle to us. We are the last runner. How are you running with your God? There are the company of those who have decided not to run well. It's a matter of choice. Thank you, sir, for that revelation. It's a matter of choice. You can choose to run with it. You can choose to bury it in the earth like that foolish servant. It is what I end with that determines what the school will go home with. Men of old, they have run. The battle has been handed over to our generation. Are you going to approve them? Are you going to make them proud? Or you make them say, oh, God, you would have allowed me to continue this race to the end. And all these, I don't know how to define them, but all these listed in Revelation 11, Hebrews 11, they only did that. Through what? Nothing more than that. But yet, the world was not worthy of them. Mothers received their death back to life instantly. But today, we have to do so many sweating in deliverance before a simple, small demon will go out. These are men that will not come out of their room, but yet we speak a word that leprosy of many years will just disappear without eye contact. But yet, they have to phone us in our time and we will go. May God bring back the days of Micaiah. Micaiah, that man, that 400 prophets with their megaphone was there prophesying. You will go to that battle and you will come back. And he was known to be a man that even if he comes, oh no. Jehoshaphat will ask, is there not a prophet in this nation that will prophesy for us the word of God? And the king said, one man did, but I don't like him. When they have no choice, sir, they will have to come back. He said, well, if he says so, send for him. Just send for him. And he said, again. And he said, well, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead or shall we forbear? Meanwhile, before he even came, when the messenger went, he said, man of God, 400 prophets, they have prophesied one mouth to the king. Please, let your own not be different. God is raising voices that will contradict the voice of God. That when everybody is shouting, it is well, your voice will be what? It is not well. Destruction is coming. It is not well. The one that says, go, rather, even if you don't print posters, sir, you will win the election. Even if you don't, you will win it, sir. Keep as long as Ghana must go in following. But when we come, I see failure. Do you think you will leave that office well that day? But like you said, that is what we are born for. We are commissioned to do that. There's my mother's younger brother, my uncle, a very wealthy man. Very wealthy man. All his things he uses in this country, they are customized from abroad. A very wealthy man. There was a time that check of almost 800 million was held, just remained for Obasanjo to just sign it for him to, because he did some work for the government. And he was so frustrated that time that he needed that money. And he had gone to several places. Somehow, we just crossed paths with him and he was like, He called me Reverend Gentleman. He said, Reverend Gentleman, you did so. I said, I now. I did. He said, when did I see you last? Since That was like 2 years or 3 years during the burial of my immediate elder sister. That was when we met last. I was like, what is happening? What is happening to you? I said, well, we are doing the work of God. And discussion went into discussion, and he now opened up to me. And he said, this is what I'm facing. He first of all said, has your mother told you? I said, told me what? He said, he has given prayer points to all the family that they should pray that his money will come. I said, money? Where is your money tied? He said, oh, back in the kitchen on his money. And he said, okay, that I should pray for him. That when that money come out, he said, believe me, this is a man that never believed in me. He said, I believe you that when that money comes, he said, I believe you that when you sit on Sunday, that money will come. He said, and if that money comes, your ministry has changed forever. He said, I'll pay my tithe to your ministry. I was like, how much are we even talking about? And he mentioned it to them. And I said, how is your life? He said, what do you mean, my life? How? I said, how is your relationship with God? Have you stopped those things that I know you used to do? He changed him. I said, have you stopped that thing? Do you still have those, your concubines in Abuja? There was one time I was in Abuja and night caught up with me and I had to go to his place. I had to trace him. And man of God, what I saw in that house that day, if fire had descended, it would have consumed me in that place. I became an evangelist that night. Going from one room to the other, preaching to ladies that he kept. And this one, we know that he another one is in the other room waiting for him in his house. It was terrible. And I talked with him, I said, listen, until your life is correct before God, you will not know the bearing of your life. And when I was talking, at the end, he was angry, but there's no way he would show me that he was angry, because he wanted me to pray. And that was how we parted, and that was it. I never prayed that prayer. I never prayed that. Till today, I have no heart for me, though the money had come, but I didn't pray. Before Pastor John left, he gave me the money. I had every opportunity to dance to the tune of that man. Now the question is the baton still yet in your hand, or the church has replaced it with something else? Not even talk about running with it. You can be in the forefront, but once that button left your hand, you are disqualified from that thing. I was preaching in Adidas Church on Sunday, and I was talking about men at the gate. Men at the gate. A time came that men that were supposed to be vigilant at the gate, they went to sleep. That is how we are facing trouble today in the church. Listen, but God is raising men that will stand at the gate. That anything that is antichrist comes, judgment. No room for compromise. Mordecai cannot continue to bow for Haman. He said, because he told them that he's a Jew. He made it known to them, I am a Jew, I cannot bow. Though he plotted against him, but yet victory. Now, I don't wish to talk beyond this point, but the truth is, there is a demand of God upon your life to move from this very place that you are into this experience of the kingdom of heaven. When you enter into this experience of the kingdom of heaven, you stand a better chance to dominate kingdom. The Bible says that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That if today you consciously say, I have wrong about the sphere of the kingdom of God, I am not taking a bold step into the kingdom of heaven, you are greater than John the Baptist. Who is John the Baptist? A man that raised a dead nation to await their God. After the close of 400 years of silence, period where Pharisees and scribes were ruling, a man came up. He was not in the cathedral. He was not in the city. He was in the wilderness. And the Bible records that the whole Judea, the whole Jerusalem, and beyond Jordan, they went to see him. And when Jesus was recounting in that Matthew 11, he said, what did you go to the wilderness for to see? This meeting is timely. It is not by mistake that you find yourself hearing what you're hearing. Let us pray. If you feel like standing, if you feel like kneeling, if you feel like sitting, but let us talk to God. Just 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes and then we'll round up. Whatever position you feel like taking, it is time to talk to God. Oh no. You are the last runner. The baton has been handed over to us. How are we running it? What is it that God is talking to you about? Say it with him right now. You can choose to tell God, Father, bring this baton back to my hand. The true message of the kingdom. You can say, Lord, you can help me to run well. The Lord was telling us in the morning at home that there is a gate and there is an entrance. And this chapter 12 said, lay aside. What do you need to lay aside in order to enter into that gate? Lay aside every way. And that thing that so is me a snare. I want to enter. But as complete as you are, brother, you cannot enter. The gate is narrow. It is a narrow gate. Yeah. Mandelika po apandalada. God is a God of measure. He gets the measure. There is a standard. There is a standard that heaven requires. And it says that standard must supersede that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, Jesus, help us. Man prasan takabalinda la da da bo zege de bo de bo le da da da. Le da 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 le kabra da da lia. Man da 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 san salaba. Man granda da 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 da. What is it, brother? What is it, sister? Maraca Cabalanda. Manda Baba 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 Baba. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, people of God. We need to be deliberate at this point. The Bible says concerning the Pharisees that they went and blew up the entrance. They did not go in. They did not give way for others to go in. God is very, very meticulous. There is a standard and a measure that he has set to enter that gate. If you have excess luggage, there is no room for you. You are still living according to the dictate and the standard of the kingdom of this world. You are an excess luggage. You are not running effectively as you ought to. Check! There is an excess luggage that you are carrying. Things that they say it doesn't matter about. Listen to me, it matters in the kingdom. It matters. They will do the things of God, but yet it's in disguise to gratify the lust of the flesh. You are an excess luggage. You cannot penetrate into that narrow gate. The Bible says it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Brother, it is a serious matter. And the book of Hebrews told us now. He says, lay aside. Now the question is, what do you have to lay aside? It is not a matter of whether I must. No, it is a matter of choice. The things that accompany my life. Listen, God is bringing us to the, oh my Jesus. The measuring standard is the kingdom of heaven. At the close of this meeting, you will say God will bring us by the door. God will deliberately bring each and every one of us to the door, and then he will tell you to go in. If you cannot go in, then it means there are some things that need to chisel out of your life. There are some things that you must deliberately let go in order for you to enter. Even before you travel on plane, there is a weight of load that you must carry. Except you are ready to pay money, more money. Excess luggage attracts more payment. There is a luggage. There is a weight that is allowed. If you have excess, you need to pay. What is it that needs to be chiseled out? What is it that needs to be laid aside? Lay it aside. And that thing that so easily ensnares you.
What is it?
Maybe as I'm talking right now, God is pointing it to your heart. Brother, that is it. If you are waiting for me to be a prophet now, start telling you that you have it, I'm sorry. But the Spirit of God inside you right now is telling you that is it. And I'm telling you that is it. It will not allow you to go in. There is something in my life. It may be those weights. It may be sin. I need to drop. Come and drop it here right now. As we consecrate and renew our covenant with God, come and drop it. We want to be deliberate at this point. We don't want to just speak in tongues everywhere and just shy away from that matter. No, this is the time to deal with it. To deal with it squarely. Because when you are brought to the entrance, God will tell you, go in. And you know the problem. You cannot go in and you want to force yourself to go in, but you are blocking the way for others to penetrate. If you don't want to become a stumbling block, come and drop it. Yes. That is the matter. Let us pray. Don't bow your head as you pray. Bow your head as you pray. No, you stand up. You that are seated, just keep talking to God. Just keep talking to God. Don't mind what is going on between me and this brother here. Because this is a very serious moment. Talk to God about your life while I discuss with my brother here.
Yes, I need to speak to God. But I've been speaking to you.